Parshas Tazri'a. After the Torah taught us in Parshas Shmini all about which animals are kosher and which are not, which birds are kosher and which are not, and the same thing with the fish, to know which fish are kosher and which not, and so on. And we have also learned how certain creatures, when they are dead, they are tamei, and they can make tamei anyone or anything that gets in contact with it. Now, in Parshas Tazri'a, the Torah is going to tell us how a person's body can sometimes become tamei by itself, just by certain things happening to the body. Now, it's very important for us to know that being tamei, or being tahar, which means clean, is not something that we can see with our eyes. Let's say, for example, a person touched something else that is tamei, so he becomes tamei. Now, no matter how much he'll wash his hands with soap, with hot water, he'll clean it, he will still remain tamei. You see, tamei does not mean dirt. It does not mean something that we can see with our physical, with our gashmiyistika eyes. It's something which is ruchnius, spiritual. Just like a person can look at his body and he doesn't see his neshama, you don't see the life that you have in your body. You can see how your body moves. You can see how you can go around, but you don't see your neshama because it's hidden from our eyes. Our eyes can only see things that are gashmius, that are physical, things that you can touch and see, or smell, or hear. That's what our body can know of. But something which is ruchnius, something which is spiritual, we know it's there, but we cannot see it. The same thing is with tum'ah and tahara. When something becomes tamei, you cannot see with your eyes that the thing became tamei. And therefore, if a person touched something that was tamei, and he became tamei, no matter how much he'll wash his hands clean, he will still remain tamei. Until he does what the Torah tells him to do, to become clean, which is called tahir, clean. The Torah may tell him to wash his clothes, to go to a mikveh. Sometimes he has to bring certain karbanos, and only then will he become clean. Sometimes he has to wait a certain amount of days. Sometimes you have to have other things that make you clean. We know about the para aduma, the ashes and water of the red cow, that has to be sprinkled on a person who is tamei and then he becomes clean. These are all things which are ruchnius, things that our eyes cannot see. And therefore, when the Torah tells us that a person becomes tamei, we just believe the Torah. We have emunah that what the Torah is telling us is true, since it is from Hashem. And when the Torah tells a person that he is tamei, well, until he goes to the mikveh, he'll remain tamei. And as soon as he goes to the mikveh, he becomes tahir, becomes clean. Yes, we can't understand why. It's like a chukah, like one of those mitzvahs that we do, even though we don't understand. We just do it because Hashem said so. It's not because the mikveh water makes you cleaner, because you can sit in a bath or take a shower for 10 hours, it will not make you clean from that tumah. But if you go to a mikveh just for one dip, yes, you dip yourself into the water of the mikveh just one time, it's enough to make you tahir, because this is what Hashem says. So this parsha of Tazri'a is dealing with different kinds of tumah that a person may have. In Parsha Shmini, we talked about a person becoming tamei by touching something else that was tamei. But in this week's Parsha Tazria, it's going to talk about a person who himself had become tamei because something happened to him. As we're soon going to see further in the Parsha. The very first thing the Parsha tells us about is about a woman who gives birth to a little baby. For a certain amount of days, this woman would be tamei, and after those days are over, she would bring a special carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. She would bring a lamb, which is less than a year old, and that would be a carbon oila. Then she would also bring a bird, whether a dove or a turtle dove, for a carbon chatas. What if she's very poor? Then she doesn't have to bring a lamb for a carbon oila. She can just bring two birds, and that's enough. One will be for the carbon oila, and one will be for the carbon chatas. And after she brought those carbonis, she's considered tehaira, that she is clean. The Torah tells us of many more details that are involved that she has to do to become completely clean. Now, while the Torah is telling us about a woman giving birth, the Torah reminds us and tells us about a very special mitzvah about which we have learned in Parshas Lech Lecha, and that is the mitzvah of making a bris milah when the child is 8 days old. That's right, a bris is never made before the child is 8 days old. There are many reasons for this, such as that the child should be healthy enough and strong enough to have a bris. And then there is another reason, as our Chachamim say, it's in order that the baby should live through at least one Shabbos and get all the Kedusha, the holiness of that Shabbos in himself. And after that, he is fit and ready to be a carbon for Hashem. That's right. When a child gets a bris, it's just like the parents brought the child as a carbon for Hashem. And we know, the Torah says, before a person brings an animal for a carbon, the animal must be at least 8 days old. And so by waiting 8 days, the child lives through the holy day of Shabbos and then is ready for his bris milah. The bris is such a special thing. The word bris itself means a bond, a covenant. That is, it's a way of attaching ourselves to Hashem in a way that we remain attached forever, and nothing can ever separate us from Hashem. It makes us so strongly attached to Hashem by having the bris. Our Chachamim tell us of the story that happened with Eliyahu HaNavi. There was a time when Eliyahu HaNavi complained to Hashem that Yidden are not keeping the bris of Hashem. This was during the time of the wicked king Achav, who did not let the Yidden make a bris. And that's why Eliyahu HaNavi was complaining to Hashem. Even though Eliyahu meant it for Hashem's sake, but Hashem was not happy that he complained against the Yidden. Hashem then asked Eliyahu HaNavi to appoint Elisha as a Navi instead of him. And then Hashem said to Eliyahu, I want you to be by every single bris milah of every single Yid, so you'll be a witness that the Yidden are carrying out my mitzvahs. When Eliyahu HaNavi heard this, he said, but Hashem, how can I go to a bris when there are some Yidden there who have Averis. I just can't stand Averis. I hate it. I can't be near people who have Averis. All right. You know what I will do? I will forgive those Yitten at the Bris. I'll take away all of their Averis, and they'll be completely clean. So you'll feel very comfortable being in their company. Yes, whenever a Yid comes to a Bris, you should know Eliyahu HaNavi is there, and also that Hashem took away all of the Averis from anyone who is at the Bris. Yes, that's what he promised Eliyahu HaNavi. That's why going to a Bris is such a big schus. It cleans us from all of our Averis and gets us pure and holy to be in the company of Eliyahu HaNavi. Now I want you to know that when a baby is still in his mother's stomach, the baby is taught the whole Torah. Yes, the entire Torah is taught to the little baby while it's in the mother's stomach. And then, when it enters the world, a malach, an angel, comes and strikes him on his lips and it makes him forget all the Torah that he was taught. Well, if he forgets the whole Torah, so then why was it taught to him? Well, the answer is that later on, when he learns the Torah during his lifetime, he will understand the Torah only because he once learned it when he was a little baby in his mother's stomach. When he's learning Torah during his lifetime, it's just like he's reminding himself something that he knew from before. Our Chachamim tell us that the Neshama in the Shemayim is waiting hundreds and sometimes thousands of years till it can come down to this world. Why? Even though the Neshama, when it's in the Shemayim, it's so close to Hashem and it has so much Kedusha, it's in such a holy place. And coming down to this world means it's going to come into a world that also has, besides tzaddikim, there are also many rishayim, many wicked people, many people who do bad things. There is a yetzahara, and there are many things in this world that aren't good. So why should a neshama want to come down to this world? The answer is, in order to gain something, to get something in this world that the neshama could never ever get in the Shemayim. And what is that? I'm sure you guessed right, the mitzvahs. In the Shemayim, there are no mitzvahs. There is no wool from sheep over there to make tzitzis. There are no deers to get some skin for writing mezuzahs. There are also no flour and water to make matzahs for Pesach. There's no lulav and esrog for Sukkot. No oil and wicks for menorah for Chanukah. No hamantashen for Purim. No blintzes for Shavuos. We can just go on and on with examples. You'll see that the only place that a Yid can do mitzvahs is here in this world. And that's why a neshama wants to come down from the Shemayim and be here on this world in order to do the mitzvahs. Not because the neshama wants to have candies, lollipops, toys, games, fun. No, the neshama comes here only in order to learn Torah and to do the mitzvahs of Hashem. Because only by doing that will the neshama gain something that the neshama would never have in the Shemayim. That's right. If the neshama would have stayed in the Shemayim, would never have gotten what it can get here, and that is doing Hashem's will, doing the mitzvahs. True, in order to do the mitzvahs, we need a healthy body, so we do have to eat, we do have to sleep, we have to make sure our body is healthy and strong. We even have to play in order to get our exercise, to feel good. True, it's very good to have fun once in a while. But we don't forget that the whole purpose of all of this is in order to do the mitzvahs, in order that we should learn Torah, in order that we should be a Yid the way Hashem wants us to be. And that is the reason why the neshama wants so much to come down to this world from the Shemayim. Now, as the neshama comes down to this world, they make him swear, Tehi tzaddik, ve'al tehi rasha, that he should be a tzaddik, he should do only good things, and not be a rasha, not do any bad things. That is, to listen to Hashem and do what Hashem wants. Now, anyone can ask, why shouldn't a neshama want to be a tzaddik? Why do they have to make him swear to be a tzaddik? Doesn't the neshama want to be a tzaddik by itself? Well, the answer is that by making it swear, this is also a time during which they give the neshama a lot of strength, a lot of koyach, to be able to carry out its mission, to do what it has to do in this world. You see, as long as the neshama is in the Shemayim, everything sounds so good and fine. Sure, I'm going to go right down to that world, and I'm going to do so many mitzvahs, I'm going to learn so much Torah. But once the neshama comes into the world, the neshama goes into the body, and has also a Yetzahara there, in the same body. So here, the neshama and the Yetzahara are going to have a battle, a fight between each other. Who's going to be the ruler of this body, of this person? Is it going to be the neshama, that is the Yetzahara, or the Yetzahara? Who's going to be the boss? The Yetzahara tells you all the things that are good for the neshama. The Yetzahara tells you just the opposite. The Yetzahara tells you that you don't have to learn Torah. You don't have to do mitzvahs. You can just live in this world, have a lot of fun, play a lot of games, eat a lot of good stuff, and that's it. And that's why Hashem gives us a lot of strength before our neshama comes down to this world, that we should be able to win the battle. That's it. To win over the Yetzihara and to do what Hashem wants us to do. Yes, it's true that many times we see things that make it hard for us. It seems to be very hard for us. It's like a test. Hashem is just testing us to see if we're going to listen to Him. We must remember that whenever this happens, and we see it's a little difficult, a little hard to do what Hashem wants, you should know the truth is that it's not hard. The truth is that it's easy. The only reason why it seems to be hard is because Hashem is testing you. Hashem wants to see how much you really mean it. And if you really mean it with your whole heart, that you want to do what Hashem wants, you will see how easy it's going to be for you. Yes, it's only a test. Hashem is testing us, and Hashem always gives us the strength to pass the test. It's like a teacher, if he taught his class Parshas Bereishis, he's not going to give them a test on Parshas Noach. There's no way that they're going to know Parshas Noach if you never taught it to them. Or, another example, if someone asks you to build a table for him, and he doesn't give you tools, he doesn't give you the wood, the hammer, the nails, the tools. How are you going to build a table? The same thing is with the Torah and mitzvahs. Before Hashem sends us into this world to do the Torah and mitzvahs, Hashem first gives us the tools. He gives us the koyach, the strength, to do the Torah and mitzvahs the way Hashem wants. No one can ever say, I just can't. It's just too hard for me. I have to listen to my Yetzer Hara. That is not true. Hashem would never give a person a Yetzer Hara that he cannot fight over. The bigger the Yetzer Hara the person has, the bigger the Yetzer Tov he has. Yes, it goes hand in hand. You have a bigger Yetzer Tov, it gives you a bigger Yetzer Hara. He makes it equal that everyone can have a free choice to do either good or chas v'shalom the opposite. And we are not foolish to fall for the tricks of the Yetzer Hara. We are going to do what Hashem wants. That's right. We're going to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. That's the whole purpose why we came to this world. In fact, that's the whole purpose why Hashem created this whole world. You remember from Chumash Bereishis, Bereishis bara Elokim eis hashamayim ve'eis ha'aretz. Hashem created the whole world, the heavens and the earth, was all because of Bereishis, which stands for Beis Reishis, the two things which are called Reishis. Do you know which two things are called Reishis? The Torah and the Yidden. So the whole purpose that Hashem created the world is in the word Reishis. That is, the Torah and the Yidden. And it is for them that Hashem created the world. So we have no other thing to do. Nothing else should interest us as much as the Torah and mitzvahs. And all the other things we do is all just in order to be able to serve Hashem with a healthy body and a happy heart. And I want to let you in on a little secret. Do you know that the Yetzer Hara himself, really, the truth is, he doesn't even want you to sin either. That's right. The Yetzer Hara really doesn't expect you to sin. He's just doing it because Hashem sent him to you to test you. Let me give you an example. There was once a teacher who had a very special boy in his class. And he wanted to give him a very special reward. But the boy did not deserve it yet. So he wanted the boy in his class to do something extra special in order to deserve it. The teacher thought and thought and came up with an idea. He went over to another boy and he said to him, "Do you see that boy sitting in class and writing?"
"Yes."
"I told him that he should be writing now. I'm going to leave the class now for a while. I want you to go over to him and tell him to stop writing and to go down to the gym and play with you." "But Rebbe, you told him he should be writing now."
"Of course. I don't expect him to listen to you. He's such a good boy. He'll surely just say to you, 'Go away. I'm busy doing what my Rebbe told me to do.'"
"But why should you do this to him, Rebbe?"
"Well, this is just to test him, to see how he'll pass the test. And when he doesn't listen to you, then he gets an extra merit to deserve the very special reward that I want to give him."
But, I'm afraid, what if he's going to listen to me?"
"Don't worry. I'm telling you, he has enough strength in himself not to listen. Okay?"
"All right, Rebbe. I'm doing it only because you say so. I really don't want to bother him. I love him so much. He's one of my best friends."
The same thing is when Hashem tests a person by sending the Yetzer Hara to tell the person to do an Avera, or when the Yetzer Hara tells a person not to do a certain mitzvah. When the Yetzer Hara tells the person not to do what he should, not to learn Torah, not to do mitzvahs, the Yetzer Hara really does not want you to listen to him. The Yetzer Hara would be happier if you didn't listen. That's right. The Yetzer Hara will be happier if you ignored him and just listened to Hashem. The Yetzer Hara just has to make believe that he wants you to sin. But really, deep down, in his heart, the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to sin. It's only a test. And do you know? Once you realize that it's only a test, it makes it so much easier to pass the test. When you know that the Yetzer Hara doesn't really mean it, it just makes it so much easier not to listen to him. You know that you don't want to go against Hashem. You want to do what's right. Yes, that's why Hashem gave us a Yetzer Hara, not in order to get us to do Averis, not either to give us bad ideas, but rather just to give us a test in order that we should deserve a greater reward from Hashem for not listening to the Yetzer Hara and rather doing what Hashem wants. And where does a Yid get the koyach from to not listen to his Yetzer Hara and listen to the Yetzer Tov? That's right. That is from that special koyach, the special strength that Hashem gives a Yid when his neshama comes down to this world, to be a tzaddik and not to be a rasha. Yes, Hashem gives everyone the chance and the strength to be a tzaddik. Now, one of the reasons why the Torah tells us in Parshas Tazria about the Bris Milah, even though we learned about it already in Parshas Lech Lecha, is in order to point out to us how important this mitzvah is, that the Torah repeats it. In fact, if a bris comes out on Shabbos, the Moyel would perform the bris even on Shabbos. Even though on Shabbos you're not supposed to cut any skin, you're not supposed to cause any bleeding, yet, for this mitzvah of Bris Milah, the Moyel would do everything he has to do at a regular Bris Milah, even on Shabbos. That's right. The mitzvah of Bris Milah is such a great mitzvah that it is performed even on Shabbos.